How do I live an authentic life? Or if we're a Christian, how does my faith in Christ shape my life on the front line? I think that's the question that we keep coming back to in this series that we're doing about frontline Sundays, fruitfulness on the front lines, being a Christian on your front line. Do you remember your front line, your workplace? It's where you are. If you're retired, it could be your social club, it could be the pub, it could be if you're a parent, it could be the school gate. All these different things. We've thought about that. Your front line. How does my faith in Christ shape my life on my front line? Or to put it one more way, how does my relationship with God connect with my everyday life? I think this is a really difficult thing for us in the 21st century, perhaps more difficult than lots of other times, because God and the worship of God has just been removed from most of life, from most of public life especially, and it's been moved into the private sphere, hasn't it? So really, according to our culture today, your faith is your personal thing, and it shouldn't really leave your head. But Jesus says something very, very different to that, to our culture. And I think the reading today is a really powerful message that will help us to live authentically as Christians on our front lines. Because Jesus is teaching about prayer. He's teaching about prayer, and prayer is the connection between the relationship with God that we have and our front lines. It's the expression of the relationship we have with God. So let's look at this prayer. Let's look at what Jesus says. We normally call it the Lord's Prayer, don't we? It was familiar, I expect, when David was reading it out. And I want us to see three things that apply to this question of how our relationship with God shapes our lives on the front line. So firstly, we are children of God. We are children of God. Have a look down on your news in the pews if you can, at verse 9. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." And can you imagine them listening to that and just that bombshell that Jesus drops in there with just four words, "Our Father in heaven"? Because all the way through the Old Testament, God is called the Lord. And Jews at the time would have been used to addressing God as titles like Sovereign Lord, King of the Universe, Most High God. Good and true titles for God. But Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "You can do what I do. You can call that God your Father. Our Father." If you follow Jesus this morning, you have the right to call God our Father. You are a child of God. That is who you are. I wonder if you've, I'm sure you've watched a competition TV show, X Factor, anything like that, or one of those property ones. They're always, where they have an interview with a member of the public, they always introduce them with a tiny description, don't they? So it'd be something like, "Let's say hello to Lenny, who is a roofer from Essex." Or it might be, "Shona is a university lecturer from Nottingham." It's always that sort of thing, isn't it? And in the world of TV or newspapers, you are what your job is. That's the summary of who you are, your job. And that might be fine if your job is your dream job. But what if it's not your dream job? And also, what if you are more than even your dream job? What if you are more than a shopkeeper? What if you are more than a cleaner? What if you are more than a retiree? What if you are more than a stockbroker? what you are. And if you are a Christian, you have been given an identity. And it is so rich and good and whole. If you follow Jesus, your identity is son or daughter of God. You are as secure in the love of God as Jesus, God's own begotten Son, is. You are as pure and righteous in the eyes of God as the perfect Jesus is. Because he died and rose again and you have faith in him, that is who you are. That's who you are right now. And it's who you are tomorrow, this time tomorrow, on your front line. There was a time before I trained, before I was a youth worker, I was a telephone sales assistant. I worked as a telephone sales assistant for a bike shop. And I won't tell you what the bike shop was called, because they don't come out well from this story. But at one stage, this bike shop, it was an online one, and the computer system was being updated and changed over. And so, at the time, loads of orders went astray. So people had gone on the website or rung us up and ordered hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds worth of new road bike or fancy mountain bike, and then just never received anything. And their order had disappeared, and the money had disappeared from their account. And so, you can understand, you can imagine how they felt about this. And on the sales team, as I picked up the phone, every other call was someone shouting at me. And so I would dread picking up the phone. And I think what was the worst thing about it was that the company was in the wrong. The company had done something bad, and I was representing the company to the customer. I think if I hadn't been a Christian at the time, it would have crushed me. Either I would have quit, or I would have become bitter and resentful of the bosses, or started shouting back at the customers, maybe. But as I picked up the phone, my identity wasn't primarily that I was a sales assistant for this company. My identity was that I was a son of the living God. And he loves me. And he thinks well of me. And there is no condemnation for me who is in Christ Jesus. He delights in me even because I'm joined by faith to his son Jesus. Now, that didn't change the way people were shouting at me on the phone. It didn't change the situation. And it was really hard. As I said, I dreaded picking up the phone. But all that anger that was directed at me couldn't change who I was inside. Who I really was. And that did change everything. So, I don't know what work is like for you at the moment. I don't know what your front line is like. But if you go to work tomorrow morning, then remember that you are a child of God in Christ. Remember, if you are retired and you go to help with your grandchildren, or you go to the shop or meet your social club, then remember you are a child of God. If you are a parent and you're going on the school run, remember, you are a child of God. That is who you are. So that's the first thing I want us to see from the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, we are children of God. And the second thing is more brief, and it's this. To see from the Lord's Prayer that our Father is Lord of all. Our Father is Lord of all. I've said we call God our Father. And that's true. But that doesn't reduce him down to a manageable size, to a human father size at all. The next words are in heaven, aren't they? Our Father in heaven. So at the same time as he is your loving Father, He is reigning as King of the universe. And then we can divide the rest of the Lord's Prayer into two groups of three requests. And the first group is a vertical one, which says, "Our Father is Lord of all." And it's there in verses 9 and 10. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Three requests. Because our identity is that we are God's children, that means our priorities and our goals must be God's priorities and goals as well. And in this prayer, we say these three things to align our goals and our will with God's. I wonder if you've stopped to reflect a bit about what "hallowed be your name" means. Because we say it just trips off the tongue, doesn't it, when we say it in the Lord's Prayer. But we don't use those language, that language normally, does it? It means, hallowed means set apart. And your name, to Jesus and his disciples, your name meant not just the word which we use to describe you, but it actually meant the whole of a person. So it was who you really are. And so, hallowed be your name. When we say that to God, we are saying, "Oh God, you are set apart. You are higher. You are different from us. You are greater. You are more wonderful than anything else." And it also means, may you be acknowledged as higher and greater and the one who is set apart, while we are the created ones. And then we ask that God's kingdom will come and his will be done. We're praying that God's kingdom will grow, that more and more people will come to follow and trust in King Jesus and be transformed to live his way. And at the same time, we pray that God's will be done. What he has planned and ordained is the best and most perfect thing for anyone, whether we or they acknowledge it or not. And so our prayer is that this will take place. I wonder if you've ever thought about praying this bit of the Lord's Prayer specifically for your front line. Have you prayed that God's name will be set high and set above in your front line, that his kingdom will come in your front line, that his will be done? Those are big prayers, aren't they? How would your workplace or your school run or social group be transformed if you prayed that prayer? That was the second thing. Our Father is Lord of all. And the final thing I want us to see is this. Our Father is with us. Our Father is with us. Whenever I drop my children off at school, it feels very often like dropping them off at the edge of the jungle and just sort of leaving them to go and fend for themselves. And it's a good school, but off they go into their classrooms where they encounter the world in all its rawness. And I mean, children are lovely, aren't they? But they don't hold back when they're being unkind or selfish. But they're not going in on their own to fend for themselves in the jungle, because Jesus says that his Father, God in heaven, who is our Father too, he is with us. He is with us. He is with my children as they go through the school gates. He is with you on your front line. And so this second group of requests, another group of three, the horizontal type ones, it fleshes out that he is with us, how he's with us, and what we should ask him. So let's read that in verses 11 to 13. Where are we? "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says, ask your heavenly Father to provide for all that you need. Ask him for forgiveness when you fail, and ask him for protection from temptation and from evil. And please note that God is not like the bank. He's not like the bank. I wonder when you last saw your bank manager. I haven't seen my bank manager. I don't even know who he is or she is. It's all online now, isn't it, really? But either way, if you want to get a mortgage or a loan or a credit card or anything like that, you have to ask for it, don't you? You have to plead for it, or you have to apply for it. And so there is a form as long as your arm, or longer, to demonstrate that you will be able to pay back the money that you are borrowing, or plus all the interest. You have to show that you've never defaulted on any loans before, and you have to prove yourself to their very, very high standard. And if you make one mistake, they won't give you anything. You have to provide references. And if you pass all of those tests, then your bank manager will begrudgingly give you some money. Do not think that God is like that, because he is not. There is no begrudging, slow giving you something if he really must, if you can do everything you must do to deserve it about God. God wants to provide for you. He is ready to forgive you. He never sleeps on his watch. Do you know that? Do you know that God, your heavenly Father, delights to give you what you need? He is poised and waiting for you to ask. He is a loving heavenly Father who wants to send his children out into the world fully equipped for everything, and with him going with them. He is a generous Father. Do you see how this together connects your faith and your front line? As you venture into your front line, you are a child of God. You go with his priorities to do and seek his will. And he goes with you. And he goes with you to provide for you, to forgive you, and to protect you. That's the truth of this Lord's Prayer. That's how to live an authentic Christian life. To know who you are and to live it out. But how do we actually live it out? The final thought. How do we live this out? How is this real to us on a Monday rather than just now? Well, the answer actually is prayer. This is a prayer that we've just been thinking about. Use this prayer of Jesus that Jesus has given us as a model. Use it as you pray to your Heavenly Father. So I wonder, how can you build prayer into your day? Do you have a quiet time at the beginning of your day, before you go out, maybe? Could you put lots of little prayers all the way through the day? Could you meet up with someone else and pray with them? You are a child of the living God. And that's why you make a difference. Have we got a video? Is that going to come up? Thank you.